Do this.
What are we doing? What's going on?
It's doing episode 99.
Oh god.
Yeah. That's right. And I'm Wes Gardner. I'm gonna use that as an intro. Over there's Brian Bolita.
No.
Yeah. You're Brian Bolita right there. We also got Imran Khan.
This is a legitimate podcast.
That's right. And
I'll never accept this intro.
and Matt Pierce.
I love that we all for Imran bringing it up, but yeah, he didn't bring it up originally.
and Mark Bradshaw.
All I have to say is this entire segment is ill conceived.
Yeah.
We should probably just abort it.
Yeah, just hit the abort button.
We should all come up with names like the names that are in the Expendables / the Expendables 2.
Yeah.
Like hold on, I gotta pull it up again.
What is the one, like Dusty Rhodes or something?
There's
Hail Caesar.
Hail Caesar, like, yeah.
Right, Hail Caesar. In the video game, the Expendables 2 video game, which I think we should probably co-op.
There's an Expendables 2 video game. If you're out there listening to this, why are you not playing Expendables 2 the video game?
The video
game. It
looks
like Renegade Ops if all the vehicles were people.
Right.
Comparison.
Oh, man. But yeah, so there's Barney Ross. I guess that's the most regular name.
Barney Fife.
And then there's Gunnar Jensen.
You know the weird thing about Barney Ross is, like, that's Stallone's character. You'd think he'd have, like, the most badass name of the group. Nah. It's just Barney.
His name's Barney. You know, I don't remember Dolph Lundgren being, like, an astrophysicist in the first movie.
He wasn't. He barely wasn't in the first one.
Okay.
I never watched the first movie, so I wasn't, like, exposed to the rich mythology of the Expendables universe.
I'm going to come out right now and say that the first one was better than the second one.
Really? Because from what I'm saying, the second one has, like, way more action to it.
I thought the first one had more over-the-top crazy action than the second one. The second one, by Expendables 1 standards, had pretty tame action.
Well, here's my question.
Okay, yes, he flew a plane into a tunnel and, like, snapped his wings off and stuff, but...
Well, let's, like, in the opening segment of, like, Expendables 2, Tony Cruz shoots a rocket launcher. Doesn't look where he's shooting, doesn't take the aim or anything. He just fires a rocket launcher off into a random direction, and it just who happens to, like, kill a bunch of bad guys. We assume they're bad guys.
Well, it's an evil-seeking rocket.
Right, evil-seeking, yeah. Okay. I only wish the whole movie had the vehicles that they had in the first part of the movie. That would have been cool.
Yeah, I wish... I want to see, like, the prologue to the beginning of that movie, because that seems like some A-team shit going on there. Because you know they didn't, like, drop into that area with these weird, like, Road Warrior trucks.
Hmm.
It's like they didn't bring that shit with them. They built that. I want that scene with the music playing.
Like with a montage.
Like Hannibal shows up. It's Hannibal from the A-team. He's just there building things, even though he's dead.
Man, Was Jet Li's name in The Expendables really Yin Yang?
Yeah.
He should have been called Gunner. He should have been called... The Kung Fu Expert should have been named Gunner, and that would have been the best joke.
That would have been pretty good. But I'm looking at the DLC page for the Yin Yang upgrade for the Expendables 2 video game Yin Yang upgrade DLC, which ups all his stats, maxes out all his stats. And he has, like, a mustache and a little, like, beard. I don't remember him out of that movie.
You know, here's the thing. You don't remember anything from Yin Yang in that movie because he was
in
a minute.
Do you think whenever, like, the video game Illuminati created the idea of DLC, they thought that it would be used to put Jet Li with a mustache in an action game? You know what I mean? Like, first we had horse armor, and we were like, oh, man, this is going to be fucking terrible.
I thought they just gave them all, like, mustaches and beards.
I'd buy that. You'll see.
That's way better than the Persona 4 Arena DLC, which is, I guess is all glasses. Like, I would play Mustache DLC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Goatee DLC. Get it?
What?
Thank you. Here's my question for you that have actually watched the first one. Randy Couture, did he do anything in the first movie? Because I'm not sure why he collected a paycheck in the second movie. Because he said, like, two things. And he didn't do shit.
He punched some guys? Maybe he punched a guy?
He got cauliflower
ear. Maybe he just shot guys. I don't remember.
Yeah, they asked him about his cauliflower ear.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
He didn't even use, like, his MMA skills. It's like, if he, like, showed up and just, like, broke some dude's arm off, it's like, okay, that's why Randy Couture is here. But he broke someone's arm.
He didn't want to be in the movie as Randy Couture, though. He wanted to be in the movie as maybe a guy that doesn't know MMA.
As Hawkeye McJensen, or whatever his
name is. So it exactly seem like a movie series for expanding your repertoire.
Yeah.
Having not seen either of these movies, one, how is Jackie Chan not the martial arts expert?
Right.
And two,
because he has dignity.
Really? I mean, he doesn't Chun-Li.
Some.
He doesn't.
Oh, my God. Dude, okay, so...
Is Hulk Hogan in this movie?
He should have been. Man, did you guys ever see Suburban Commando?
Hell yeah.
Yes.
No, wait. Obviously. Before we go off on that tangent, I will say this because Imran brought up Hulk Hogan. Stone Cold Steve Austin isn't in this movie. I just realized.
He's in the first...
We went through this... Yeah, he went through this entire thing about indie wrestlers. What the hell? Like, The Rock isn't there, and Stone Cold Steve Austin isn't there.
They're supposed to be entirely, like, old guys, and Hulk Hogan makes the most sense for that.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So I'm guessing these are their call signs or whatever, because Randy Couture's name in the movie is Toll Road.
They get the best names.
Now there's Lee Christmas, and I don't know, I guess I didn't really realize it in the movie, but Jean-Claude Van Damme's name is Villain.
Yeah, but it's pronounced French, so it's
spelled V-I-L-A-I-N, Villain.
Yeah. Yeah, so you don't catch it until you like look at the credits and you see it as Jean-Claude Van Damme as Villon, which is
and then we've got Scott Adkins as Hector.
Yeah, no, totally.
Hector doesn't seem like a very Albanian Romanian name. Hector, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know many Albanians are on that bot.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure whatever you just said there regarding Albanians is horribly racist, and you should feel bad for that.
I'm pretty sure that Jim Belushi isn't actually Albanian. No one gets that one.
No.
Wag the Dog is a bridge too far for references.
Yes.
Yeah. So I saw that. It was a movie.
Yeah.
It was exactly what you walk into it for.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to see washed up action stars beating the shit out of stuff and shooting things.
I would say like there was a couple things like toward the end where it was very forced, is like Bruce Willis and Arnold Schwarzenegger and like Rambo basically just trading off their one liners to each other, and it's just like
That was amazing.
You guys could have done a better job. Yeah. They could have done a better job at what they were doing. Like Arnold just says, "Yippee-ki-yay." Like, there's no reason for you to say that, Arnold. That makes no damn sense. Nobody says that unless you're Bruce Willis blowing up a damn airplane.
It's only because they called him a cowboy.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only reason that makes any sense at all. That's the only reason it's a witty comeback.
I'm pretty sure
not witty.
Yeah. I didn't catch that until you just brought it up. So, yeah, it's just...
They earned it because they drove around in an airport in like a little smart car with the doors ripped off.
Yeah, that
they can do whatever they want after that. That was fucking amazing. I hope that scene is the video.
Like 500 bullets per second were fired off into this thing. We don't give jack shit about the collateral damage or the innocent people that were killed. That had to have been killed during this because that airport was not empty. But that place had people in it, and that's why I love this movie. It does not care.
Well, neither did Rambo. Like, back in the day, that's what Rambo would do. It's like, you would call Rambo in, and it's like, I think there's some guy holding a hostage in that building, and he's like, I'll fucking blow up the building. And then he, like, C4s it, and it just half the jungle explodes.
No, Rambo, no.
Please, don't do it.
Rambo, you're actually the terrorist.
That was the Rambo trilogy, is that the second movie, I think it was, I might be getting my movies confused, he was like, Rambo, you can do more than fight. You're not just a killing machine. In the third movie, his handler comes back and is like, Rambo, you need to come back. You're a killing machine.
You're a
chained up
dog.
It's like, if I were Rambo, I'd be really confused.
No, Rambo, that's the orphanage side of the forest.
Don't you know the Rambo 5G?
Yeah. Well, okay. That always confuses. It still confuses me to this day. I used to be a video manager at a video store, and if you told me to list in order the Rambo movies, it was like, the first one's called like Rambo Third Strike.
No, the first one doesn't have Rambo in the name.
Right, it's Rambo First Blood, and then it's Rambo First Blood Part 2.
Okay, wait.
No, it's just First Blood.
Yeah.
No, yeah, it's just right, First Blood. Right. Rambo is nowhere in that name. The second one is Rambo.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and then and the third one is Rambo 3. And it's like, what the fuck happened to Rambo 2?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like,
the second one is Rambo First Blood Part 2.
See what I mean? See, that's it! What the fuck?
And then the fourth film is just Rambo. That was the most recent one.
Did they ever make the Rambo movie Stallone wanted to make after 9/11, like where he hunts down Bin Laden?
Oh,
I don't know. That might be the fifth film. On the Wikipedia,
I'm pretty sure
page.
The fifth film was Expendables 2.
The sixth one was Expendables 1.
Yeah.
Okay, right. The sixth one was Expendables.
First Blood is all about a guy with PTSD who can't let the war go. And like, when you keep that in mind watching the rest of the series, it's like the Department of Defense is like, what if we could use his PTSD as a weapon?
So sick.
And we're like, weaponized trauma.
So what
the first one was supposed to be a message about what the horrible things we did to our Vietnam soldiers, and then everyone is like, well, let's just go ahead and use our Vietnam soldiers because these guys are sociopaths.
Which one is the PTSD one?
The first one, but that's a whole.
So okay, so then cliffhanger, I think, is probably Rambo 1.
That's yeah,
Part 1.
Sure.
No, where we need to go back is like just go back, and we can't. Of course, we can't use Sly Stallone for this, but maybe we can because who gives a fuck? Let's go back to like 1970 or whatever and figure out what the hell happened to him.
Let's bring
we
in.
We need
Carl
Stallone Urban. To release a Rambo timeline.
We need to bring in Carl Urban. Yep.
It'd be worse than the Zelda timeline. It'd be more convoluted.
Yeah.
I hope Sylvester Stallone makes a cameo in the new Judge Dredd movie.
He better, man.
Because it turns out like Rambo is also like Rocky Balboa.
Right. They're all the same person. Also Carter. But anyways.
Well, speaking of Sylvester Stallone, I don't know if you've caught this on the previews when at your theater watching Expendables 2. Judge Dredd trailer came on.
I just said that I hope Sylvester Stallone makes a cameo in the new Judge Dredd movie. Also, Rob, what's his face?
Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider, yeah.
Were we asking for a new Judge Dredd movie? I know they can only do a better job than the first one, but we didn't actually need this, right? There was no one on the face of the earth saying, "Hey, let's try Judge Dredd again." The first
I'm
one worked out so well.
I'm pretty sure this movie is just a giant excuse to use a new camera that like the director got or whatever. You know, he's just like, "Fuck, man, we can shoot so many frames per second now. Let's just okay." There's a drug makes people see time really slow. Let's just fucking shoot everything in that,
yeah,
and we'll make it 3D.
Well, it's like that clip that's on the internet where he like busts into that apartment building and then like shoots people through their cheekbone, and like a dude's going like no, and then a bullet goes like, through his open mouth, and he's like oh la 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 la.
It's like Preacher, if you ever read Preacher comic. But there's so many face pieces that get shut off in that comic, in that graphic novel, whatever. Face.
I hope they make another Judge Dredd game, but it has to be for the Sega Genesis. Because that game was so amazingly terrible.
It has to use that same rendering to where it's like a picture of someone with like claymation crap on him. It's like Batman Forever was that way, right? Like
I remember that game.
Oh, man.
No, Batman Forever was that was those were stuntmen in costume. They were filmed Mortal Kombat style.
Oh yeah.
And then It was a Final Fight style brawler, except terrible, with a ridiculous combo system that could get you up to 700 hits in a combo.
You'd figure somebody would just get bored being beaten on by Batman by like the 700 hit.
He's like, please, sir.
Like, there's not a whole lot to do in Gotham if you're a henchman, aside from being beaten savagely by Batman. You got to make your dollar somehow.
Yeah,
I think it was something like once you got the combo started, the game just kept throwing enemies at you until the combo was broken, and then you could move on.
So Batman Forever was the first Musou game.
It was the first actual Forever game.
You know, so I saw, I can't remember who it was, but somebody tweeted that they had pledged to this Kickstarter for a game called Chivalry Medieval Warfare, which is basically it's an FPS, medieval FPS, with, you know, kind of melee elements, swords and stuff. And I was looking at it, and I remember to the big thing that wanted like $500 million that Neil Stephenson was behind, Clang, that Kickstarter, did you guys...
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. The sword fighting Kickstarter.
And then this little project that this guy's making for like $50,000 that he wants for it looks a lot better than what Neil Stephenson was showing. I don't know what my commentary here is, but it looks neat.
Yeah.
Just saying. That's the update minute.
First person sword fighting is now a thing, I guess?
I think it was a thing with Dark Messiah.
That was the game that kind of did it extremely well, even though it sort of focused too much on kicking people.
No, wait a minute. We are forgetting cross swords. That was what brought it into the mainstream.
Oh yeah, what was Breakdown on Xbox?
Oh man,
cross swords way predates that.
Yeah, well yeah.
I was watching a little retrospective by one of the guys on evilavatar.com, who goes by the rather goofy name of Metal Jesus Rocks.
Yeah.
He's like this long-haired rocker guy.
Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus. And he was doing like a retrospective on a bunch of old FPS games, and yeah, he showed Breakdown, and it was the first that I had ever seen it, where basically like everything he did, like picking up stuff.
Yeah, it was a super clunky game. It took forever to do anything. Like, it's like, all right, look down at your kneecaps, and you're like, all right.
Yeah, and this was alongside games like Blood, which we talked about on a podcast recently.
Yeah, and I think it's on sale at GOG right now.
Yeah, it is. And then also Strife and, I don't know, some other games. It was a two-part retrospective. We'll have to link it in the show notes. But it's worth watching. A lot of cool game, good memories.
Nice.
Oh, should we Mark, you're our officiator. Yes. Let's update people on our illegitimate games.
Our illegitimate book club.
Illegitimate book club. 50 Shades of Me.
Well, if they're illegitimate books, then we don't have to like speak about them because they don't happen.
The books have a way of keeping the words off them.
Yes. Right. This is terrible, and we really need to stop referencing that. But it really is great. But no, the Illiterates Book Club selection that we will discuss on the next podcast, which is of course Beardcast 100. Well, be Zelda A Link to the Past. It won by a rather handy margin over
pretty sizable chunk.
Yeah.
Hey, don't look at me. I nominated Metal Gear Solid 4.
Yeah, I voted for Metal Gear Solid 4.
I heard Nintendo, Mark.
I love Nintendo. By the way, never actually played this game before. And I walked into this thinking for some reason that Link to the Past was on the eShop because, hey, I'm crazy and assume Nintendo would put shit on the eShop.
Nintendo eShop.
Yeah, because we have to keep that shit segregated. It's like if you put console games on a handheld, people's minds will just be completely blown, I guess.
Not even the distinction, though, because they have NES games on eShop.
I think it's more that they just don't have a working SNES emulator.
Well, it's like they're not willing to go to 16-bit.
Right.
Yeah,
they have GBA games. They do? Well, yeah, they do have...
Yeah, they do.
The Ambassador games, yeah.
Yeah, like Metroid.
But those don't work very well.
Wait a minute. Wasn't Link to the Past one of the Ambassador games, or am I wrong?
Four Swords Adventures, I think.
Okay. Well, yeah, Four Swords Adventures is on it. Yeah.
It was just Zelda 1 and 2, I believe, were Ambassador games, but only NES ones.
Really? Oh, no, Minish Cap. That's right.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah. But yeah, I haven't played Link to the Past in probably, over 12, 13 years? So it's been a long time.
And never since.
Yeah, like 94, 92?
Like, I have it on GBA, apparently, but I don't recall ever playing it on there.
Right.
That was my time where I just, I would walk into GameStop and be so amazed by the fact that I had money that I would just buy games and never play them. So not that different from now.
And I do that now. So it comes full circle.
The last time I tried to play A Link to the Past was when the Wii came out. I picked it up on Virtual Console. It's something I hadn't gotten through before. So I figured, I should rectify this. So I got through the first three dungeons and opened up the Dark World. And I was thinking of myself to be hot shit. And then my girlfriend at the time, future wife, came over for the weekend. She's like, oh, I love Zelda, let me play. And I watched her run through it in one afternoon.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I'm going to marry that gal.
Yeah, now she wants to watch me play for the podcast. I was like, I really don't want you to watch
right? She's like, oh, get the fucking key. Aw, like, that's you.
So you're saying you have performance issues with Zelda if your wife is watching?
Well, there's a lot of things that she does to beat that game in one afternoon that I would never know. Like, she knows how to sequence break in that game in order to get through the dungeons easier.
Right.
So it's, I don't even know where the dungeons are.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. It's actually quite a simple game. You can beat it in less than 5 minutes. I myself, you know, you just go through that first castle and you walk backwards at the right time and you access the hidden panel, the hidden like tunnels behind it, and you just walk over to Zelda. She's right there in the castle. It's like 5 minutes. It's right there.
It actually is like a weirdly amazing sequence break that's not tool assisted, where they can finish the game in like under an hour, I think. Maybe somewhere between half an hour to an hour. It's crazy. And ideally, we should not do that because it'd be like just reading the last page of the book, or a book.
Yeah. I don't know why you guys love this game so much. I beat it like 5 times in an afternoon. This thing sucks.
Yeah, so
I spent $60 on this.
I'm using an emulated version because I don't have anything that plays my GBA games right now.
Right.
So I set it up to use my 360 controller. Mm-hmm. You don't realize how bad that D-pad is until you actually play the 3D game.
Yes, sir.
Like, I can't get Link to face the right way 90% of the time.
Just for
that thing is an abomination.
Yeah, just for shits and giggles, just download Street Fighter 2. It's you can't. It's almost not even a functional thing with that D-pad.
So the Capcom Fighter Pad has a decent enough pad on and it works well.
I have that. I think I might try that.
Though I was in the same position because I don't own the Wii. I'm not going to like track down the GBA version. Like, it's probably in Pennsylvania or like Ohio or some shit at this point. So I got hold of S9X, I think it was. And I got Zelda, so I might as well just go ahead and catch up.
No, Nightbreed does not condone the illegal downloading of file and emulating programs unless you previously own an actual copy of the video game.
I own a copy of the game. I just don't own an SNES. That's it. Yeah, but
spoiler alert: that's still technically illegal.
Yeah,
it is. Seems illegal.
There's absolutely nothing legal about the emulator thing. But you know, it's also not my fault if Nintendo's not going to monetize their shit correctly.
Sure.
So
yeah,
I mean, they have it, just not for a system you own. So
yeah,
right.
So yeah, I'm being an entitled little prick about it, but you know, I'm trying to go through my life without owning a Wii. So I think it's working out quite well. So
on that note, I'm gonna gift order you a Wii.
Thank you.
A golden Wii.
a golden Wii.
Awesome.
Enjoy.
I have this Wii that I have absolutely no use for once I finally get a Wii U. So yeah, great.
Or there's the DS XL is out. I might get one of those.
Yes. I think you can trade like your old like 3DS. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
Say how insane it is to say your old 3DS and get one of those for like $100 on GameStop.
Yeah, I just my most recent is a DS Lite.
Yeah, there are 3DS games that make it worth it now. It's worth the price of admission. If you're gonna jump in at this point, you may.
Yeah, I probably will.
It took me a second to parse that sentence as 3DS games and not 3DS games.
3DS games.
They're exactly 3DS games that are worth playing.
Yes, there are 3DS games. He's exactly right. Yeah. They're only 3DS games.
Speaking of games,
Anyone
been playing any good ones? I think a lot of people have been playing a lot of new games like Sleeping Dogs and Darksiders 2. Some games have come out.
That's right.
Because there actually are games out now, which is kind of surprising for the first time.
And they all came out like 1 week.
Yeah,
which is
fucking no Walking Dead. What the hell, Telltale?
What? Yeah. Well, supposedly they're just now like. Well, no, it was actually voice work for the fourth game. But Gary Whittle was talking like he had the third episode in certification like last week. So God only knows when Microsoft's actually going to get around.
This week, isn't it? Because they said it's the last week of August.
They actually originally said middle of August.
Well,
Valve time.
Yeah, well, it's like Torchlight saying it's going to come out in summer. Like, oh, summer 2012, which means the end of September. And I was like,
I remember when Torchlight 2 was going to be February.
I did too.
Or was it?
Yeah.
I remember it was going to be last year. Like they're guaranteeing that Torchlight will be out in 2011.
Yeah, I thought so.
Metal Gear Solid, the Revengeance, that's
Metal Gear
2013.
Rising, yeah.
2013 now, right?
Yes.
Say this year sucks. This is just terrible. Anyway.
It's a combination of nothing being done and everything being afraid of Call of Duty.
Yeah. Which is weird because...
And fuck that game.
All that amazing.
Blob sold I think it's the best-selling Call of Duty.
I think so.
It was like 5 million in pre-orders alone.
Yeah, I think that's correct. And then Modern Warfare had a faster pre-order to hit 1 million, but I don't think it sold as many.
It has our shorter tail.
Right. Yeah.
So who knows? Maybe it actually that whole thing's peaked. But then again, who knows? Is EA going to have a Battlefield this year, or is that also going to be 2013?
2013. They have Medal of Honor.
Is that this year or is that next year?
I think it's this year, and then you get you get Warfighter, and then if you get Warfighter whenever it launches, you get Battlefield 4 beta. So
an Army of Two, is that this year or
that's also next year?
Wow.
Yeah.
But they announced that pretty recently, like a month ago.
I mean, a whole bunch of stuff, but there's a bunch of 3DS games. Is Paper Mario still next year?
No, that's this year. Luigi's Mansion got delayed to next year.
Yeah, as did Castlevania. That's right.
Yeah.
This is one of the reasons why I'm really not looking forward to a next generation. I don't mean the Wii U, but, whatever Durango's going to be or the PS4. Because if they can't get games out on time with this level of art and... art assets devoted into them, I can't imagine what delays are going to be like on the next generation.
I don't mind so much because, to me, the biggest weakness of this console generation is everyone thinks that they have to release crap every single year and the games suffer because of it.
Mm-hmm.
So if it forces them to hold back and release iterations every 2 years or 18 months, I think that'd probably help, really, because that can only help with development.
And if...
If your company's big enough, that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
And you're seeing series with Forza. I'm glad for this, by the way. Forza 4 and Forza Horizon. Forza franchise is going to be annual, but that's because Turn 10 is going to release an actual Forza game every 2 years. And then they'll do a spin-off game every 2 years.
But it's still the same team, so they're not actually having time to spend all the time on a good Forza.
Okay. I have a sneaking suspicion it's not the same team at all.
Well, you're seeing things right now, everyone says New Super Mario Brothers 2 is kind of boring, and the reason for that is they got a different Mario team. They had to train junior staffers up to make Mario games.
Yep.
Because they have the main team working on the Wii U game. And it's you guys probably could have avoided this if you didn't release two games in, 6 months.
Right.
Two really similar games.
Yeah. And I'm sure, EAD Tokyo is making another one on the side, which is their 3D Mario stuff. Also, this is apropos of nothing, but I was just checking my email, and I got a comment posted on my... You guys remember the X-Men Destiny Let's Play I did?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So I just got a comment, and I was the email notification says, Alan M. Hansen has made the comment, is this a good game? Question mark, question mark, question mark.
Just say yeah. Be like, yeah, man.
Totally. It's a forgotten classic. It's out of print. You should totally try to find it.
Side note, I did that to a customer last night. It was tax-free weekend, so it was super busy. And this guy was in the store 35 minutes after we shut the gate. So we had been closed. We're just waiting on this guy to pick a game, and he comes up with X-Blades. Is this game?
Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man.
You will love it. Do you like Devil May Cry? You're going to love this shit.
This is the best Russian-made Devil May Cry ever made.
Yeah, man.
Probably.
Great.
It's the I Divine Cybermancy of Devil May Cry.
Yeah. Is X-Blades the new Harvest Moon of...
They made a realistic art style sequel that no one has ever talked about. I've never even seen coverage or reviews of it.
And somehow released by Konami, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, the only reason it came up for me at all is I saw it in the store and thought, this looks a lot like X-Blades, and then you kind of pointed out that it is.
Yeah. There's a demo on Xbox Live, and I got, like literally about 12 feet down a hallway and died. I was like, nope, done with this.
Do you know what you died from, or is it just, like, the game?
There was a guy on the side shooting at me.
Okay, great. At least it was to something. It wasn't to a glitch. At least it was to a dude, you know?
Yeah.
So speaking of glitches, Darksiders 2 isn't really all that polished, you guys.
I was going to ask you.
No.
Like, I don't think it should surprise anybody that THQ kind of had the game rushed to so they had something to release.
And it's a really good game on PC, right?
Which is apparently the least bad version in terms of that sort of stuff.
Like, right, wasn't it their alleged lead version or whatever?
Well, I mean, all the stuff is like, you still see very console res textures.
Yeah.
And also, okay, so there's a lot of stuff that's weirdly not PC about it. Like, I'm playing with the 360 controller, and you can't remap buttons at all.
Just like throws out like misogynist comments or like racist comments, or
right? That's what my mind went straight to.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, weird.
But, like, for sure, I always prefer dodge when I'm using a 360 controller on the right trigger. And for some reason, it's on RB, so that makes it really difficult for me. Also, lock-on is left trigger, and special moves is left button. So, for me, I have to release lock-on to use a special move. Which doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. Like, do people keep all four fingers on those buttons?
I mean, really, I don't know. I feel like in this day and age, short of, like, a mobile game, there's just no excuse not to have remappable controls.
Right.
It's like, just have it. Just do it. Just have it. Just put it there.
And then I tried to use mouse and keyboard for a second, and, like, whenever you try to move, the camera always switches behind death. So if you're using mouse and keyboard, that's incredibly annoying because the mouse controls the camera. So it's never where you want it to be.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Is it true that... because a lot of the people that I know that have been playing it says it reminds them of World of Warcraft, because you're mainly in a field waiting for enemies to respawn.
It's way more fantasy than Darksiders 1 was, at least so far. There's no post-apocalyptic Earth.
Yeah.
It's all like... The very first area is like a Lord of the Rings-style Valhalla kind of place.
Yeah, see, and that kind of appeals to me more, because that's the reason why I kind of lost interest in Darksiders 1 about 6 or 7 hours in. I was like, yeah, this seems like a Spawn comic. Like, that's the only vibe I got the entire time. I was like, yes, you know, I don't know how many taxis I can lift up. And
it's greatly blurring the line between it and Zelda in terms of that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just kind of why they did it.
The post-apocalyptic setting of the first Star Wars was kind of weird, considering all the humans were dead, right? It's not like you like actually interacted with anybody.
And this game is like, it's death trying to bring those humans back, which kind of doesn't really have any tension because you know he failed because the game is a prequel.
Right.
Right.
Well, that's really weird that death...
I didn't realize that.
Death would be the guy the... Well, actually, you guys aren't going to die. But even though I'm death, I'm going to make sure you don't die.
Maybe that's why he failed, because he's death. And it's like, of course, he was destined to screw this up. He wound up killing more people. There was like one guy left, and he killed him.
It's strange because the game like literally starts with death going, I'm going to bring back society, but I don't know how. So he just rushes.
How did anyone die in the first place?
He reaps souls, I guess.
How does he not know he's death? Is it amnesia?
Also, does he have a job because everyone's dead? Like, what does he do for a living? Is he like bringing everybody back just so he can have something to do now?
He reaps souls of everything.
Who thinks this game would be awesome if Norm MacDonald did the voice for death?
The voice is so weird because, like, there's points where it seems like a cross of Christopher Lee and Patrick Stewart, this really classy British guy. Like, that's the kind of cool James Bond-style death I would like. And then half the time he's doing, like, this Mark Hamill Joker impression.
God.
And he's such a dick to everyone for, like, no reason.
Well, he's death.
Well, yeah, he's death, but shit. I, like, war was nicer. And I feel like death should be just about as nice as war.
Right. They're the four horsemen. It should be about... You know, to some extent, generally polite.
Well, you know, war, he was just weary, and like, he wanted to be nice to people.
Yeah, pretty much.
War was just weary of all the war in the world, and he's just a nice guy because of it. Death just sees death all the time, and he's like, fuck it, everything's gonna die because I'm death, I've seen it's death.
Death voiced by a tribute to Mitch Hedberg.
Yeah. So with Darksiders 2, the thing that appeals to me about it, I haven't played it yet, but the thing that appeals to me is the fact that I guess there's a loot system.
Yeah, which I'm not sure is for the better. I mean, it's interesting. It's the same colored loot. You get, like, you know, regular loot, epic loot, you know, that sort of thing. But I kind of, it's a Devil May Cry like, and there's no blocks, so you just dodge everything. So I'm not really, when I get something with better stats, I'll equip it, but I don't care that much because I'm dodging everything anyway.
Sure.
It comes down to my skill more than it comes down to DPS.
I see, right.
Also, it seems like it's sooner or later you're going to get hold of that rare weapon that completely breaks the game and makes the rest of it unfun and unchallenging.
Well, apparently possessed weapons, which are weapons you can feed other things to steal their skills, are rare, but I've gotten like 6 of them. And people have been saying they've gotten like 3 over the course of the game. Where I've been in the first world and I've gotten a couple.
Well, this could be this is where you're using up the luck for the rest of your life. It's like you'll never win a lottery and like
yeah,
this is it.
Your karma is infatuated in Darksiders 2.
Yeah.
One thing I really like is that there's item trading with other people on Steam.
That's what I heard. How does that work? Do you just
wait? What?
Yeah, exactly. Like, do you have
trading? I thought you said training.
There's just trading. Like, there's a chest that is like a community chest, and you can put an item in there and just put in someone's Steam name or their THQ ID, or they're both linked when you start the game up, so you can put in either. And then they can just, when they go to that chest, they can just pick that item up.
Huh.
So you can just gift items to people.
That's pretty neat.
Yes.
I've never done it because I only have 3 people on my list that play the game, so. But if I have something really cool that I don't need, I might give it to somebody.
Maybe you should buy it.
Now, has THQ come out and said if they're going to patch like the console versions or the PC versions so that it's safe to buy at some point in the near future?
They intend to patch the PC version. There's a Vigil developer on GAF that I've been telling, like, every time I see him post, like, hey, I really want to remap these buttons. So maybe they'll listen to that. But
cool.
Here's the weird thing. Okay, so, you know, the game starts at 720p, and you cannot change the resolution until you get into the actual game and are controlling death.
Huh.
And even then, the resolution doesn't change until you restart the game.
There was another game that did that recently, and it upset me. Can't remember.
It's very strange.
What
it's a very well-designed game. I like it a lot, and the first boss is amazing. The music is really good. It's just, there's so many small scuff marks that could have taken another couple of months of development.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, after it gets patched and, you know, you can actually remap your buttons and stuff, worth the $60?
It's $50 on PC, but
okay.
I'm guessing this is going to fall in price pretty fast. I would say definitely worth $40.
Okay.
Probably.
That's cool.
I mean, if you want to get it full. If you're a big Darksiders 1 fan, you'll probably like it. The game does an interesting thing. Like, you know how Zelda games have this very, very slow burn where they introduce you to every character ever,
yeah,
and then you get into a dungeon? This
right.
puts you in a dungeon pretty much immediately, but the trade-off of that is I don't know death at all.
Okay.
Like, so I have no sympathy for him or his stupid plan yet.
Well, it's probably a lousy plan because he's deaf and his job is just to kill everybody. So,
one of the cool things
flawed.
I really liked is the first boss fight is against a shadow version of War.
Huh.
Yeah.
So, like, it's a very... If you've played Darksiders 1, it makes it very clear immediately what the differences are between the two characters, because War is blocking all your attacks, he's making big swings, he's very slow in punching you, while Death is just dodging everywhere and slashing Devil May Cry style.
That's pretty neat.
Interesting. So how is the combat, now that you brought up Devil May Cry, how is the combat? Because I always felt that was the weakest part to Darksiders 1, aside from the god-awful light puzzles.
It's Devil May Cry. There's
okay.
basically no difference. Like, even the developers say, you know, we just wanted to make Devil May Cry. Somehow we made God of War the first time.
Right.
But this time it's actually Devil May Cry.
So it feels like Devil May Cry. It feels like it's up to that same level.
Yep, except for the fact that, like, the button problem that I mentioned, that I can't use skills right. while locked on,
yeah.
which causes me more often than not to... I have a skill that dashes me forward through a teleport slash, basically. Which, since I can't lock on, I miss a whole bunch of times because
it
then get myself stuck in a corner.
Now you see, you saying that it's like Devil May Cry meets Zelda and they finally got that right, that's like the biggest selling point for me right there. Like, if anything is going to convince me to spend like $60 on a game, that's probably it.
Right.
Because we haven't seen a decent character action game in a long while now.
Right. the problem with, like, there's really good dungeon design in general, but it's pretty repetitive because I don't know what path you're taking all these side quests. And even then, when you come across a dungeon and you're like, okay, I'm going to figure out what's at the end, there's a treasure chest at the end, and since loot is randomized, you can get just total shit.
See, the randomized loot thing just kind of gives me pause, because I know sooner or later you're going to find that one weapon that completely destroys the game, and you might as well just walk away.
Apparently a bunch of pre-order bonuses, like, completely destroy the game. So if you pre-order the game, you have a good chance of playing it normally. But, like, there's one with a Best Buy set that every piece of armor and weapon you have in that set gives you back energy with each hit.
Ugh.
Oh, wow. Which, so you're basically just an unstoppable, like, perpetual motion machine of death.
Probably the bigger enemies. There's one of the nice things about this, like, very early on you get a side quest to take out four giant monsters. Or four or five. And basically go on Monster Hunter-style quests to find them and kill them, and they're all very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm enjoying side quest design, because it's more than just go in here and open this chest. Sure. But there's a lot of those, too.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Very fantasy-y so far. It looks nice. Music is weirdly good.
Like, that's what I heard. Like, surprising quality to the music.
I was kind of tripping on it until the first boss. Like, there's a bunch of mini-bosses that kind of look like first bosses, but, like, each world has a major boss, and that the first world's major boss is the play tool there before you dismiss the game, because it was one of the best boss fights I've seen in the last 5 years. Not necessarily by mechanics, but in terms of, like, atmosphere and tone.
Nice.
So that, and then, did Darksiders 2 and Sleeping Dogs come out, like, the same day?
The same day, yes.
The same day. And then is it just you that have been playing Sleeping Dogs, Wes?
I think, Imran, do you have Sleeping Dogs?
Uh-uh.
Huh. There's someone else on my Steam that's always playing it. But that game is fantastic. And, like, good enough that I would say if you enjoyed Saints Row but wanted a John Woo version of Saints Row, then this is what it is.
What was that game before that early Xbox 360, like, GTA-style game that tried to do that?
True Crime?
Yakuza? Is it Yakuza something? Yeah, True Crime. Yakuza's
PS3. But okay. True Crime, this is the sequel to True Crime.
Yeah, this used to be True Crime Hong Kong until one of the companies went under, and then someone bought the team, and then someone bought the rights, and then they dropped the True Crime name. There's some weird stuff going on.
It was Activision, and they didn't think it could be serialized. Right. So they squared everything up.
And, I mean, calling it a new IP... Sure, I guess you could, but, I mean, there's just so many similarities. Here's the thing I want to get out in the open, though. I read a ton of reviews, because this is definitely the type of game that I know while I'm playing it, I'm loving it. I just can't get the vocabulary down to explain why really well. So I was like, okay, I'm going to read some reviews and see what these guys have to say. Everybody's comparing it to Grand Theft Auto. Just because it's open world, it's not. It really isn't.
You hear that, reviewers? You're wrong.
Yeah, I mean...
wrong, bitches.
Because they're like, oh, yeah, it's an open world game. You get quests, and you can drive a car, and then you could do this, and then you talk to this guy, and then you have to go on dates. It's GTA. I'm like, nah.
It actually seems like a literally more grounded Arkham City to me.
It is. That's a better way to look at it. A bigger, more adaptable Hong Kong version of Arkham City. And because the battle system is Arkham City's battle system entirely. Like, it is that battle system. It relies on counters. My only complaint with the game is the way that missions are set up. Some missions, you'll do 7 or 8 things per mission. Like, okay, now we're going to go carjack this van. Then we're going to drive the van down to a warehouse and break in. And then we're going to break in, and then we have to fight 10 waves of guys. And then we're going to leave, and we're going to get chased by the cops. And then we have to ditch the this. And but if you lose at one point of it, you restart the entire thing over again.
That's
no.
What I was about to add. Yep. That was the checkpoint. Yeah. That was sort of ruined GTA 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did.
And, I mean, but even with that, because I hate that type of stuff, that and escort missions are my biggest pet peeves. But even with that, I still love Sleeping Dogs, because there's so much actual personality to the game, and it's a mix of everything. It's a mix of setting, it's a mix of voice acting. They actually mix, you know, Cantonese, you know, some old school street Mandarin, stuff like that, into the streets of Hong Kong. But then the rest of it's like that kind of Asian American, like kind of Chow Yun Fat sort of influenced Hollywood stuff.
Can I play as Kurt Russell?
No, yeah. But you can dress up like the guy from Just Cause.
Okay.
I laughed really hard when I saw that they have a Shenmue outfit.
Yes, they do. And that's another thing. This really does remind me of kind of a more simple Shenmue. A Shenmue that wasn't so... Because I love Shenmue, but it seemed a little bit, you know, too big for its britches, if you want to get to a southern... it was kind of heavy, right? Sleeping Dogs realizes what it is, and it embraces it wholeheartedly. Like, the car mechanics are great. The fighting system's awesome, because it is basically the Batman series. Nice. But the fighting is pretty difficult. It's mainly hand-to-hand combat. Guns are not easily accessible. You cannot find guns everywhere. You do bone breaks. You do, you pull shoulders out of sockets. You can do knife fights. So, basically, if any of you guys have seen Old Boy, it is the hallway scene in Old Boy, where he fights, 35 people with a hammer. That's basically what you're doing.
So it's pretty... Is the fighting pretty deliberate? If you mess up, will you definitely suffer?
Yeah, absolutely. And enough so that, once again, because of the checkpoint system the way it is, let's say you're in a knife fight with someone. If you fuck up a counter once, you could be dead.
Cool.
So it's it's good. It's really good.
Bushido Blade.
Yeah, exactly. It's very much that same ilk where you have to be concentrated on every fight, no matter even if it's two or three minor street thugs or, and it feels like the weapons have a lot of weight because of that. Because, if there's guys hand-to-hand combat, you're taking on three guys and they don't have weapons, no big deal. But if even...
Now, let me ask you.
Yeah.
Is there a lead pipe you can find on the ground and just use that hagger style?
Yep. Absolutely, and the coolest thing about it is you have different skill tree sets. So you have a cop meter.
There's RPG progression?
What? Yes, there is, and there's branching trees based on what abilities you get. So you meet...
Isn't it called something weird, face meter
or something? That's
like
one of them. That's basically... Face meter? Yeah, to save face. Oh man, I save face, you lost face, all this other stuff. So basically, it's your...
wardrobe?
Yeah, it's your street cred. If you walk by people, they'll be like, oh, that guy's a badass. And, you'll get discounts at stores. But also, there's a cop meter based on how well you do the undercover cop stuff.
It seems like a lot of mechanics.
It is, but they work really well together, which is why I'm also impressed with it.
You know what also had a lot of mechanics, Mark?
What's that?
Darksiders 1, probably.
Yeah, that did.
You should have a joke in mind before you continue the joke.
No, there's no joke. I'm genuinely curious if there's a portal mechanic in Sleeping Dogs.
Oh yeah.
No.
Is there a portal skill tree? Anyways.
But if there's one movie that I could look at that a lot of people would know that would kind
if
of
there's one movie yeah. that you can look at.
It's
this
it's The Departed. Because The Departed was based off Infernal Affairs, which was made in Hong Kong in 2000, I think. That's what Departed's basically a remake of Infernal Affairs. So you're an undercover cop in the Triad. So during every single mission, you have to not only do good by the police, but do good by the Triad. So there's this weird balance mechanic. But there's sometimes that they're like, oh, you need to prove yourself that you're not a cop, so kill this child. And you're like,
oh, geez.
Yeah. So in... I won't get really into it, but the story is actually good enough that I go out of my way just to do story missions.
The Mod Nation Racers people, ladies and gentlemen. That's just the developer.
Yeah.
That's the last...
Was it?
Yeah. Mod Nation's Racers.
I thought they were making Little Big Planet karting. Let me look this up.
United Front Games. Because I was looking up to see if
the people that make Little Big Planet are making Little Big Planet kart.
No, because they're making Tearaway.
What...
Yeah, they actually are making Big Little Planet karting to come out in 2012.
I have no idea what to
do. They made Little Big Planet 2 DLC, and now they're doing this.
But yeah, and this is a game that I'm super stoked to see, because I just hope there's not now there's going to be a Sleeping Dogs 2 through 7, because it's not needed. It's,
right.
This is a great standoff, one-off type of game, but I recommend it, and I think it's worth full price. And it's beautifully optimized on PC. It's probably the best optimized PC game. God, I've seen it in probably two or three years.
Oh, man, I love a good PC optimized game. Wow.
And it is United Front. Okay, then.
Yeah, I remember saying that it had a DX11 mod to it, right?
It has that, and it has a free high-resolution texture pack. And I guarantee you, if you have a good PC, this will look next-gen. you'll look at it and be like, why can't every video game look like
that? Oh, snap, it looks like next gen.
Well, you know, what was that other game?
Because the Xbox 360 is 10 years old.
Well, yeah, well, I mean, but here's the thing. You know how everyone was impressed with Watch Dogs? Sleeping Dogs right. looks just as good, if not better, because it actually neon lights in the Hong Kong, like, rain-slick streets.
That's so awesome. Clearly there needs to be, like, a Hungry Dogs open world game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just need dogs in all the titles.
Half Dogs 3, Episode 1.
It's Team Dogs.
Team Dogs. It's Team Dog Fortress.
I'd actually 2. Play that. That would be pretty great.
But yeah,
I played Dog Fortress.
As long as we finally get an Air Bud basketball game.
Yes.
But I also
did you know they found out there was a NBA Jam? Like, they had a debug code where the announcer would just scream like epithets.
Was this the arcade version or one of the like console versions?
I don't remember. I think it was the console version because it had President Clinton in it.
Dogspace 3 now with co-op.
That was the 90s.
He'd be like, he's on fucking fire.
Toasty.
I kind of want that actual unlocked version.
And they probably didn't reflect that in the game's rating at all. They probably was still AO. I mean,
I'm not sure they had ratings back then.
Yeah, it probably didn't, actually. No, they didn't. That was back in the Genesis days. They would have had that.
Yeah, that's when they had the thing that was before the current rating system.
Yeah.
Like,
instead of E for everyone, they had K-A for kids to adults.
Right.
Oh, right. Yeah, general audience. And let's see. And the only other game I've been playing is Final Fantasy VII PC, which is a good port considering all the BS that comes along with it. But yeah.
Like what?
Secure-ROM.
Which
I don't...
Always online for Final Fantasy VII, hilariously.
Well, because what it does is, yeah, you get achievements, but also every time you go to a save point, it contacts the server and then does the cloud saving mechanic right there.
Huh.
Yeah.
No. No, Imran.
But it does it right then. It's like uploading stuff to server. But the good thing is, you know that nice feeling you had back in the day when you had a very fresh memory card? And you put it in, and, like, it was the first game you would save onto it. So it's like, what slot do you want to save it to? And it's like, what file do you want to save it to? And here's this big, long list of...
That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's kind of what it does. You have, like, 40...
You know, I only had the freshest memory card.
Yeah, like, 40 or 50 save slots you have. You scroll down them. I want to pick number 18. Click it.
Because I want the little 3D model there.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. We're going to take a break and then come back and we're going to talk about some of the video games because we've been playing video games.
All right.
Video games!
We'll be back.
Welcome back, guys. Episode 99. We are back from break. Glad you're sticking with us. How does it feel knowing that this is the last second segment before episode 100?
I feel special. I feel like this is a momentous moment.
I feel like 50 was just like a week ago.
Yeah.
It does feel like that. Part of it is because, well, especially for because we haven't had any hiatuses.
Right, we didn't have a 9-month hiatus, yeah.
Yeah.
Hiatai?
Fuck you.
A Mai Tai?
Hentai?
Sure.
No.
Yeah, we're going to keep going around what we've been playing. Who wants to go next?
I will go next. Yeah. So, I beat Dead Space 2. I can't remember if I mentioned that on the list. I enjoyed it. I thought the ending was a little... I don't know.
Did Space 2? I can't remember between the two. Like, is that the one with the bit with the eye?
Like the Eye of Sauron?
No, the eye, the thing.
Oh yes, there's the eye thing.
Okay.
But then I don't know. I feel like I know this one was more psychological, but that final boss battle, like I all of a sudden beat it, and then I was like, oh, okay, I guess
it wasn't really a boss battle. It wasn't. You confronting your dead wife.
Yeah. And then you kill some things. So it was, I don't know, I was a little disappointed in that aspect, but it's all good. It was still a really excellent game, and I even might do a new game plus on whatever the next hardest, because I played on, I think, the second hardest. I played on Survivalist.
Yeah.
So I might do a playthrough on the hardest mode, because they said the thing, like, there are advanced suits and stuff, and the suits are fucking rad, so I might do that. So I beat that. The other night, I beat Unmechanical, which is that Unreal Engine-powered 2.5D fly-around little robot puzzle game, which is really fun, a lot of charm. I was kind of disappointed with how short it was. I wish there was more.
Right.
Like, I beat it, and it didn't feel like it was coming to an end.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden it was over, like, the credits popped down, and I was just like, oh.
Was it just badly paced, or just no pace at all?
There was sort of a pacing. I think they could have done a better job of alluding to the quote-unquote story. There was, like, it's not so much a story as it is just the way things play out. I don't know how to quite explain it, but there's a little story, like, at the end, you're like, oh, man, whoa, so that's the thing. So I feel like they probably could have paced that a little better, but all in all, really good game. But, yeah, a little too short, and, yeah, the pacing, yeah, whatever. So I beat that, and then I pulled the trigger on Counter-Strike Global Offensive.
Nice. Yeah, yeah.
And I've been playing that. And, man, I love Counter-Strike. I really enjoy Counter-Strike.
Explain the premise behind Global Offensive and how it's different than normal Counter-Strike.
It uses...
For people out looking in.
It added two new game modes, and then it also did new peer-to-peer matchmaking, and it's set up for esports. That's it.
And you guys, but you're still just using DE Dust all
yep,
the time.
Yep, DE Dust,
right?
Dust 2 Office, Aztec, well, the trains, yeah, train station, Italy. What's the other one?
Italy was the best.
Italy was pretty good.
What's the warehouse? It's just DE Warehouse, right?
Yeah.
No, that was a hostage level.
And then there's the villa.
What are the new modes to it?
Oh, the new modes, there's one just called Arms Race, which if you've played that Call of Duty, isn't it a Call of Duty thing? Where basically if you get a kill with a pistol, then it upgrades you to a semi-automatic, and if you get a kill with that, then you get a fully automatic, and then if you get a kill with that, you get like a rocket launcher.
If you get a kill with that, you get a tactical nuke, which kills everyone.
Pretty much. That's kind of what it is, and then you get a certain amount of points based on how long you survive, how many kills you get.
Yeah,
all that good stuff.
It's Counter Strike with all the modern trappings of a first person multiplayer first person shooter,
and
with that Valve touch with, like, you know, snapping screenshots, you know, of, you know, somebody that just killed you or something like that, and it's pretty, and it's fun.
Yeah, it looks good, and I mean, you would probably know.
It actually releases tomorrow, I think, right?
Yeah, you would know better than I would. Is that the Left 4 Dead engine? Did they?
I don't know. It's
all Source, right?
It is all Source. Yeah. It probably is this with, you know, all the trappings and the I don't know. It's all Source. Various, you know, variations of Source, mm-hmm. which they've, you know, upgraded through Left 4 Dead 2. Going off the menu system though, it's probably more towards the Portal 2 end of things.
I'd agree. Know. And then they did a weird thing. They made this weird radio menu to buy stuff. Your buy menu is now this weird context-sensitive...
I was surprised how much kind of console things there are in the beta, you know, or in this game. It doesn't detract from it at all. I mean, it's, you know, it's still... You do all your regular computer PC stuff. But I was surprised to see, like, you know, the console... But I guess they did build everything cross-browser, so it's all good.
Yeah.
What were you asking? I forgot. You're saying, what were you asking? I don't even remember. But yeah, so it's fun. It's Counter-Strike. It's like $15. And I'll probably get a ton of playtime out of it. So hopefully we can get some people together to play.
I'd be down for it. It's really weird. I tried to go buy it because I've been in the beta for the longest time. And then I go to try to buy it and it says I already own it. And I was like, well, okay. And then it lets me go to the checkout page and then it won't let me buy it. says I already own it.
But wait, but you said you've been in, you just got like accepted to the beta?
Yeah, I was,
because I got into the beta because I bought it.
Oh, right, yeah, I was in part of the beta since the NDA. Like, I've been in it so long I wasn't allowed to tell anyone I was in it. But yeah, the game's awesome. It's out of all of the games, I have Battlefield 3, I have like Modern Warfare 3, I have all these dude bro shooters, and whenever I need that fix for that, I go to Counter-Strike, because they upgraded it really well.
Yeah. And then I've been getting back into a bit of Diablo 3, and they're adding some stuff soon with the patch, like a Paragon thing, where like once you hit level 60, you can then go through Paragon levels, which give you some bonuses, whatever. But that's about it. I'm hoping to start playing more of Crater soon, because they just started co-op beta testing.
Ooh.
So I'd really like to play through that game co-op.
I played Crater. I remember bringing it up on the podcast, and I was like, you guys heard of that game Crater? And you guys are like, nah. And I was like, well, I played it, and it's not very good. Have they improved it? Like, was the, well, because the reason why it wasn't very good is because it barely ran on my computer. Like, it just wasn't optimized, and like
a personal problem to me.
How dare you. But have they fixed that? I mean, does it run pretty well? Does it?
It ran perfectly fine on my computer when I loaded it up just to check it out.
It was really cool, like some of the dialogue options, you know, when you go meet like the first townspeople, the tutorial stuff to go inside.
Swedish Chef.
Yeah. Whenever you go there, it was like, this is where the tutorial text goes. Like, that's what he would say, and I was like, hi, dude. That's neat.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much it. I also picked up Sniper Elite V2 pack, whatever, because that was on sale, and I wanted to shoot guys through the test.
Yeah, we need to do a thing where a few of us are on Skype with you while you're playing that, and we do a play-by-play.
All right.
Of you shooting some balls off.
It's done.
Fantastic.
That's how we plan here at Nitrobeard. Like, you know, it'd be funny if we did that. And that's how it happened. That's how Trine happened. That's how you guys got the Trine thing going.
Do it. Yep. So that's
the blessed ball shooting in.
Who's next?
Trying to premise the.
Yeah. Who's next? Matt or Mark?
I can go next.
Sure.
It's a short list though. Was Project Gotham 4.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
You got that article up on the site.
Yeah, I wrote more than I would bother saying on the podcast on the site. So, if anyone wants to know in depth what I think about it, check out the article.
nitrobeard.com/film/2012/8/19/the-bargain-min-frog/gotham-racing-4.html.
We need to fix our fucking URL system.
It's a good URL system. That's good for SEO.
Yeah. For people go on.
It's a decent game. It's just that the physics are too realistic for it to be an arcade racer. So
an issue the third one had too.
Yeah, so to win a race, first of all, they have that kudos system that's supposed to give you extra points for doing drifts and other stunt driving, but it rewards you with so many fewer points than just finishing first, that the only way to play the game is to just try to finish first in every race. And the best way to finish first is to drive correctly, follow a correct racing line, and keep your wheels from spinning. So if you drive it in the most straightforward and boring way possible, you know, in the most simulation racer way, that's how you progress through it faster.
Right. But it doesn't seem like it should, because that's the same issue Gotham 3 had. It's this weird halfway point between arcade and sim, and it didn't do either one quite well.
Yeah, that's the dirty secret that Fast and Furious movies don't ever want you to know. Drifting is not a fast way to drive.
No.
It's a very, very slow way to drive.
In fact, it only works in Ridge Racer.
Yeah. And that's because Ridge Racer is ridiculously unrealistic.
Yeah. You do 360s with Ridge Racer, because that's how it's built.
Well, the newer versions of Ridge Racer, once you start the drift, if you do it right, it kind of locks you onto a rail that pulls you around the corner. So you don't have to be good at drifting to get around the corner. As long as you start it at the right time, it'll pull you around the corner automatically, going just as fast as you were on the straightaway.
Right. Awesome. Thanks, man.
Other than that, I finished Osiris Wrath, Sans DLC.
Get the DLC.
Yeah, I figured out I have to, pretty much. Because the full ending if you don't have the DLC is basically a cliffhanger telling you to buy the DLC.
Yep. Great! That's fair.
And you have to play through the final level twice to get that ending.
Yep.
How long is the final level?
It's, like all the other levels, it's about half an hour.
Nothing different happens? Like, if you play
nothing
it
happens,
twice?
Happens until the last 10 seconds.
Wow. Yeah. So you're literally just replaying the entire thing the same way.
Yeah, nothing changes either. There's no surprises, there's no twists. And it's kind of funny because I played it on easy just so I could get through it. And they have you play through the final level, and then they bring up this thing and says, make sure you get 5 S ranks in order to unlock the final level. And then immediately another message says, congratulations, you unlocked the final level.
Oh, I think if you have the DLC before that, it'll just let you unlock it. Like, you don't have to do the S ranks to play it again.
Yeah.
But yeah, the DLC is very much worth it, because if you like the characters, I forgot the guy's name, Asura's brother-in-law.
Frank?
I forget his name, but he's pretty much the best character in the game, and he gets much better in the DLC.
How long is the DLC? Because it's $7, right? Is it at least a couple hours worth of content, or...?
It's a couple hours. It's a whole chapter.
Okay. That's not as bad, though.
Yeah. And it conclusively ends the story, and does it in a very... I hesitate to use the word, but epic way.
Yeah, out of all the games I've seen lately, Epic would really just apply to that one. Because whenever someone's, like, punching the earth or something, yeah, there's not a lot of words that can explain what's really going on except for Epic.
This is probably, like, a really stupid thing to get excited about, but, like, whenever in that game that somebody gets planet-sized and they have a little thing, like, they show it from Earth, and he looks like it's just, you know, a silhouetted thing from a... like the sun from a distance. That's so amazing. I love that effect.
That game has a lot of amazing visuals, and not because it's necessarily a technical marvel of any sort. It's just, it is directed like an anime, which means that it's got a huge focus on looking good.
CyberConnect does really good presentation. That's mainly their big thing.
I love, by the way, that game's pacing is the best pacing I've seen in any video game ever.
Yeah.
Just the way that the entire game is built into 20-minute chunks, and after every 20-minute chunk, you've made some sort of progress.
It's a really good game that I think is the kind of game it is, and the value proposition is unfairly hurt it. Well, maybe not unfairly, but... if people can get a chance to play it, then they should.
I think that other games could pick that at least the pacing up from this.
Yeah.
Like, Uncharted is like a really, really long movie. And it doesn't matter how good the movie is. If the movie is 40 hours of continuous movie, it's not going to be a good movie.
Right.
It's going to be way too long. It's going to lose the plot. But if you have your writers break it down into, like, a series of TV episodes, then it becomes... a lot easier to digest in smaller chunks.
I don't know who here has played Uncharted 3, but there's a section in that game where you go to, like, a ship graveyard and fight pirates, and it's the most boring, interminable thing in the world. And they admitted that they did that because they built the levels before they wrote a story, and they just wrote the story around them. I think it makes more sense to make a really good story and really good pacing, and then make that fun.
One of my I think it was my script writing class teacher told me this story about writing to a Rushmore or something like that, where basically, like, you know, some guy hired somebody to write, I don't know, write a script or something, or told him this idea and wanted him to write a script and said, okay, so you're starting here, and I want it to end with a fight at Mount Rushmore. And then they
that's how we got Richie Rich.
Right. That's exactly. apparently they're like, let's have a pirate battle.
I'm just kind of amazed that they start off with the concept of fighting pirates in a ghost ship graveyard, and they turn that into a boring slog. How does that happen?
Yeah, well, it's like the movie.
Because the shooting in that game isn't very good, and it's a big sandbox, so if you happen to take the wrong path, you get surrounded really easily.
Apparently, Harmonix Music Systems is looking to hire a combat designer. Sorry, I know
music, man.
You know, I would give them shit on that, but if the Little Big Planet team can make Sleeping Dogs, like, sky's the limit.
Little Big Planet karting.
Karting, yeah. That's right.
Which, by the way, that gate, like, I saw a quick look of it, and they're kind of wearing the fact that it's Mario Kart on its sleeve.
Yeah.
Which I'm not sure is, like, is that Sony's game plan now? Is that their thing they're doing?
I mean,
that, no, if we're it, just fucking Nintendo. Was, we if, don't care.
If it was, then they'd be making money. Like, I guess at some point they make a profit, so clearly that's not actually going to work.
I'll wait for the demo.
Yeah.
There's supposed to be a PlayStation All-Stars demo this month, too. I don't know if that changed because it was delayed, but I'm eager to actually try these games to figure out what's supposedly so different.
I don't know, wasn't the hints of this done before when they released Move and they had just the pack-in pack of just a bunch of Wii Sports games using the Move wand instead of the Wii wand?
Move Sports is hilarious because, like, there's a battle thing where, like, you have, like, this giant battle axe and you're just, like... I play as, say, like, an 800-pound guy or whatever, beating on this little girl. And, like, you,
that's
you
what knock the camera
her down,
and,
like, you jump down with the axe, and it's like, game one! Then you go play golf together. It's weird.
Yeah, Imran is surprised that he saw the 800-pound guy beating up the little girl, but that's just what the PlayStation I saw in his living room. So, it's all I can work with.
Yeah, I found that game... because I wanted something to play with the Move, and there's not a whole lot. Like, they keep making Move games, and then I forget that they're Move-related, so I don't care or buy them. I think I've used the Move maybe 3 times total.
Which Move?
The PlayStation Move.
The Move?
The Move.
The Move. Yep.
So weirdly, the Move has seen more support from Sony than the Vita possibly ever will.
They announced some Vita stuff, but... I remember Tearaway because it looked kind of interesting, and I remembered Killzone because, Killzone.
Yeah.
Killzone was kind of... They did a system update that allowed you to use the controller in the menu.
Yeah.
Revolutionary, huh?
What?
In fairness, like, for some reason that took Nintendo a weirdly long time, too.
I don't get that. I don't understand why people think that touch screens are automatically how people want to control things that have D-pads.
Yeah,
because they're invested in this idea. It was committed, and the committee decided it has to be through the touchpad, and using anything else would weaken the vision of the system. So they had to wait until long enough that the committee wandered away so they could actually make the system useful.
So the other game I played this week was Dear Esther. Played and finished pretty easily. Yeah, I think it's even charitable to call that interactive storytelling.
Yeah.
Is there a puzzle involved or anything, or are you just wandering around video?
There
play?
Is not. It is more, if I were to describe it by comparing it to anything else, it's those curated audio tours for museums.
Okay.
Where you walk from place to place, and then the thing, have you ever done that in a museum? The little audio receiver finds an RFID on the wall and tells you about the exhibit you're looking at.
I'm going to let the man tell me how to visit my museum.
Yeah, they hand you an inventory gun, and you have to, like, scan some shit.
I think Louvre hands out 3DSs now.
They do.
Yeah.
Apparently that's actually, like, there is a group within Nintendo devoted to forwarding that as a strategy.
Huh.
Museum tours with 3DSs.
Hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, I started Dear Esther, and then I stopped and started playing something more interesting.
How did you not finish it?
I stopped. I stopped because I had to actually go do something, and then I was like, looking through my games, I was like, well, I could load up Dear Esther, or I could go do something I enjoy.
Well, I'll say this for the game. It was...
Which I feel shitty, because I know there are a lot of people like, yeah, Dear Esther, you should grab it. And I guess it could be interesting.
It was
but...
totally worth the price of admission.
Yes.
For $1.50, it was totally worth it.
Yeah.
So compare and contrast Dear Esther and Ostra's Wrath for me. Fundamentally, they seem like the kind of similar thing.
Yeah, except that Ostra's Wrath actually tells you what to do. You know, Dear Esther, there's only one path you could possibly walk, and all you can do is go down the path. You can't branch off anywhere, really. And you can, but then you just come right back.
Here's what I think should be said about Dear Esther. So, you guys played Braid, right?
Yeah.
Now, that was like a fun game, right?
Yeah,
I mean, gameplay-wise.
Yeah.
But then, story, Mark, say a word about the story.
I'm not going to use the word...
pretentious?
I'm not going to use that word because I don't think it's a good word to use for something that's actually trying to be art. I don't know how to use that word.
Yeah, so there should be more pretension in video games.
Yeah.
Before we go any further, did you guys read that CBS article about Jonathan Blow?
No.
That called him the most famous game journalist of all time. Or not game journalist, but game developer. And that was like... he's revising video games by making a puzzle game on an island.
So did they only speak to Jonathan Blow before doing this interview and literally no one else in the history of video games?
I'm pretty sure he mostly shaped the article himself. Because, I read it, I didn't know if it was a parody or not.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I enjoyed Braid, and I will probably play The Witness, and I think The Witness looks kind of neat.
It looks like a
Myst
to me.
Sure, which I liked, but I think The Witness looks neat, but John Blow.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Hold on.
I got to finish my point about so Braid, fun gameplay, story pretentious. By and large, you could just ignore it and just play it as a time bending puzzle game. So imagine that, but without the fun gameplay part.
Well, great, awesome.
See, I think interactive fiction can work in video games. It just has to be more paired like Shattered Memories from or Silent Hill Shattered Memories and Ushra's Wrath, not so much like Dear Esther.
Yeah, I wouldn't classify Dear Esther as a video game. It's more like Machinima. Like it is
playable Machinima.
Sort of. You have to walk forward. Like you're in control of the camera, but it's very much a presentation. It's not.
So it's, I see. It's a video game in like a YouTube like stream is a video game in that you have to press the button in order to make it go.
You can browse around it. Yeah.
You can scrub.
Yeah. I feel sort of bad. I don't know. Maybe I'll catch some flack for it because there are a lot of people that I know that were like, yeah, Dear Esther is amazing. You should.
I'm just amazed you didn't finish it because it was shockingly short.
I'm probably like a minute away from the ending. I went into the cave. I went into the cave and then I went up to like the Stonehenge thing and I stopped there, I think.
Okay, here's my idea for an indie game. It's Snake. Literally exactly Snake, but as long as you keep going, the story keeps going.
Sure.
It's a long story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once you die, the story has to start over.
Dear Snake.
We'll have to confer with Andy before and see if that's actually been made yet. Because I'm really positive it has.
The story. It'll work. Trust me.
Dear Snake.
So these are the same guys that have been asked to like work on the sequel to Amnesia, right?
Yeah, Machine of Pigs.
Yeah, Machine for Pigs.
Machine for Pigs, yeah. Machine of Pigs would probably be funny.
Pig Machine.
Gears of War. Machine of Pigs.
Their Pig Machine was my first car. It was kind of great.
Didn't they open up Ozfest like a few years ago? Pig Machine. But yeah, Dear Esther, for some reason it seemed like whenever I looked at the screenshots and stuff, because I think I got it for like $1.50 or something as well during that Steam summer sale. I was like, oh man, what if this game is like, you know how you can explore around something like Oblivion or Morrowind, but then once you go into certain things like a cabin, then some crazy shit happens, you get a narration thing, and then you have to piece all this stuff together like it's in Myst.
Things don't happen. Like, you can go into a cabin, but it doesn't do anything.
Oh, boy.
A bird flew away, and you can zoom in.
I don't even think I saw a single animated
thing.
Anything.
I definitely, there's one point, like, I went in, and a bird flew out.
So, it's like, it's a 3D world, right? That you can walk into and explore
stuff.
Yeah,
it's the Source Engine.
Yeah.
Okay. See, how would you guys feel about, like, let's say take Skyrim or Fallout and remove all combat?
Oh, I'd love it, man. Oh, that's why I thought L.A. Noire would be amazing if it had none of the, like, freeze type stuff. Like,
I'd hate it.
Oh, man, I'd love it. If you didn't have to worry about, well, now my weapon's rusted out, now I have to go find ammo, and now I have to do this dumb economy stuff.
But is that really different from Walking Dead?
See, I love stuff like Walking Dead. I mean,
I started playing Walking Dead Episode 1.
Nice.
What do you think?
I'm enjoying it thus far. It has some really weird slowdown issues on my computer. Really weird.
Huh.
Which like really kind of ticked me off.
PC gaming, everybody.
Because I
gotta spend a week working with the INI file just to get the game to launch.
Really? That's no. super weird. Oh, he didn't.
It was just one of those things people joke about PC games.
Right,
like,
oh, yeah.
I just want to put it in a console so it just works.
And then you had to upgrade your graphics card with $8,000.
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
But, so, yeah. So I started playing that. It's fun. I'm really looking forward to it, really enjoying it.
Yeah, I feel like interactive fiction can work. It just it's a very much a tightrope walk.
Yeah.
And if you try to go too far the other way, then
sure.
you're not gonna keep your audience hooked in.
Kojima always balances that line. Because I really don't
kinda.
I don't see
he has like gameplay elements and then movies. That's not balance, that's bullshit.
Well, no, I think Metal Gear Solid 3 balanced that line.
It's an anime. Like it's interactive anime is all it is.
No, it's like anime sequences between sequences of a video game.
Right.
That doesn't count.
No, here's the thing. No, Kojima treats the cutscenes the way other developers treat gameplay. And then vice versa. He treats the gameplay the way other people treat cutscenes. Like, oh, well, now I'm driving on a motorcycle, and now I can interact with it for 13 seconds. But then we're going to watch a 35-minute movie. And I'll tell you what, if they took out the gameplay of Metal Gear, I'd love it even more. I'm serious, man, because I'm the biggest Metal Gear fan probably on this fucking podcast. But the one thing he does extremely well is something that he always gets berated for doing because he's in the wrong hobby.
As someone that fell in love with Metal Gear Solid 3, mm-hmm. I think the balance can work. Like, sure. he can make a game that plays incredibly and has really good cutscenes.
Well, you know, here's the thing. He's never produced a well-playing Metal Gear. Like, all the Metal Gear games have been kind of clunky and kind of, like, slow and plotting. Like, they never really had terribly good controls, and, like, he never quite aims where you want him to aim.
Sure.
So, I don't know. I never think he actually sat down and made a classic video game experience based on the mechanics. Now, if you take that game and you put it together with, like, the world that he's in and the weird movie elements he puts in, yeah, they're good video games that need to be played. I don't think he has once made a mechanically sound video game based on the Metal Gear stuff.
See, I love 3, so it's hard for me to agree.
Man, because I know I've said this before, but I would pay for Metal Gear Online on PC.
Yeah, man.
That'd be great.
That was kind of a wonky game, but really, really good once you got good at it.
We should do a retrospective about that.
We should, man, because we played that shit back in, like, number 3, I think.
Yeah, me and Tyler.
Yep.
Yep.
But it had Rebel Rose's characters.
That's right, yeah. And then you could everyone could play as Raiden.
It's just got like so much. It's just got that like Metal Gear quirkiness and a lot of fun stuff. And yeah. All right.
Do we want to really quickly? Hey, OnLive is dead. Zynga's dead.
Tony Scott is dead.
Command and Conquer is dead.
Plants vs Zombies 2 is coming, but you shouldn't be excited because you're not going to get to play it on Steam.
That's the out of all
EA owns PopCap.
Yeah, EA owns PopCap, and you're gonna have to buy Origin. Which, by the way, since we mentioned Command and Conquer, if you pre-ordered Command and Conquer on Origin, you're royally fucked because you don't get a refund and the game's free to play.
What?
So like, there's gonna be like freemium elements to it, right? That you would invest in, right?
Sure. Maybe.
So maybe you'll get credit for that?
Maybe one.
Is that just like a shocking overreaction to Old Republic going free to play? Like, is that what they're doing?
The thing that pisses me off, because sure, make the game free. I like more people playing Command & Conquer. I'm a big Command & Conquer fan. They took out the single player mode. They took out. It's now a multiplayer.
That's stupid, because like that's the reason you want to play Command & Conquer was its crazy single player world.
Because you want to go with Einstein back to like, you know.
Man, I am just baffled by EA and Origin. I mean, I'm looking at the Origin page for SimCity. There are two versions you can buy. You can buy the $60 version or the $80 version. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Does it mention why I would want to buy the $80 version?
The $80 version comes with the British city set, the French city set, and the German city set.
So it comes with the half of the game that it should have had to begin with.
Yeah. It's called SimCity, and they're leaving out, like, cities. What the fuck is going on? Oh man.
Well, you know, if you want France, you can make.
Meanwhile,
if you want Paris, you can make Paris yourself. All right.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Valve was like putting out, is making the Facebook of video games, or something. I don't know. They're adding some.
Yeah, they need to moderate that somehow.
Community features.
Because like, holy shit.
What's that? There's a bear? They're in your house.
Matt's eating Cheetos. Do we have any Cheetos?
That's weird. I guess the microphone mute button isn't working anymore.
Nope, we've been hearing it the whole time.
Oh, man.
That was just the most grievous offense.
Yeah, Steam community, they'll put up pictures from anybody, but since, like, there's no limit on what pictures you take, people put up some pretty gross mods.
Like, maybe you should have better friends.
No, I do have better friends, but it's like I've been seeing on other people, they post pictures of like, hey, here's what my Steam community page looks like, and it's just nude pictures of Alex.
Well, you know, they're showing you what's important to them, and, you know, Valve shouldn't be the one to regulate someone if they just happen to love Alex. I don't see what's so wrong with that.
But, I mean, is there like a flag for deletion kind of thing on Steam?
There probably is. Just saying, Gabe Newell cares about me.
He does.
He does. I know it.
You can report individual screenshots.
You can or can't?
Can.
There you go. Report that junk.
Always literally. Beautiful. Has anyone played Man vs. Machine yet?
No, I haven't.
We should try that this weekend.
We should. I gotta buy it, I guess. Isn't it like 99 cents?
There's a paywall to get into a server that has item drops. Otherwise, it's free.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
So, I've been playing video games.
Oh, Mark, what have you been playing?
What I've been playing? Well, you know, we're trying to get a Zelda running because, you know, I had to download this horrible illegal emulator that will probably destroy my computer. So I'm looking through this list of games. And I said, well, you know, I've got Castlevanias. Apparently, it's like three different Castlevanias for the SNES and Cybernator. And basically, long story short, I didn't actually play any Zelda, and I played a lot of Cybernator because I really love Cybernator. And just reminded me, like, I've downloaded like a dozen games for it, and virtually all of them are Konami games. And it's like, what the hell happened to Konami?
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing there anymore. There's like Metal Gear and bleh. I was like, they fucked up Silent Hill. Yeah, they fucked up Silent Hill. Nobody wants to go back there anymore. So.
Oh, God. That HD collection, that's the best story ever.
Yeah, it's just too much work. We're not going to do it. We're sorry, guys. PlayStation 3 guys are fine because we like you guys. But it's not Xbox guys. Well, you guys deserve what you got. Sorry.
It's funny. The exchange program, one of the games listed is Silent Hill PS3.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, that's what they should do. But yeah, I've been playing a lot of Cybernator. Played actually for modern games. This fantastic new video game came out on Steam last week. I'm surprised no one's heard of it before or talked about it. Called Iron Brigade.
Here's the thing with, I have not played Iron Brigade, and I was.
You should. Well,
have you played Trenched?
What's that? Why would I play that? That's a stupid sounding game.
It's a board game in Europe, apparently.
Yeah, why would I play that shit? Iron Brigade is fantastic.
I was super excited. I was like, oh man, Iron Brigade, because I loved Mech Assault on the first Xbox. And I was like, man, if these games are similar, I'm going to be so happy. And then, like, actually, it's a tower defense game. Like,
No, not really. Not really. Well, it's you play as your giant, like, World War II style mech.
Yeah.
And you're free roaming in that level, so like, and like you can customize your mech and everything.
Sure.
It's kind of a tower defense game in like you're defending your base and waves of enemies come at you. It's kind of more like Gears of War Horde mode, but it's kind of more single player oriented.
Sure.
And you can play it one of two ways. Either you can play it where like you get your hugely like beefed up mech suits with a bunch of like really heavy armor and just maybe like one or two different tower types you can put out and you're not really relying on too much, or you get like a tiny mech suit which gets blown the hell up with a bunch of different towers and towers.
Oh, right.
So if you want to play like a third person like mech suit game, you can probably get away with that, but it's largely depending on the level you're on.
Compare and contrast this to Shogo.
Well, Shogo is better. Because it's Shogo.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean,
I'm with you.
I'm frankly insulted that you even asked me that question.
Well, I have never played Shogo.
Oh man!
Oh my!
God. Oh man! We gotta get some sugar.
Prid, get off my podcast.
That fucking intro was FMV. Oh man!
I know it's gonna be my nomination for the Literary Book Club next, provided it's actually possible to find and play Shogo, which it might not be anymore.
No, it's doable.
Gog has it, but, probably.
But the problem with six bucks. Yeah, Gog. I don't know if it's playable. It's
you want to know the true power of giant robots?
Well, it might be one of those things that's only playable on like Windows 95 and actually completely worked on everything else.
Apparently, they've
made
it compatible with Vista and 7. So
with everything.
Okay, so there you go. Right. That works. Yep. But the big problem with Iron Brigade is like it's based on different missions and maps, and like you need different weapon loadouts for different like enemies that come at you. Like there will be one enemy with an armored shell, so you have to have an explosive weapon to knock past the shell before you can get through it. Or it'll be flying enemies, so you need a flak type gun to take out the flying enemies, or you need a sniper weapon to take care of snipers. And sometimes they'll throw all the different types of enemies on one stage, and there's just no way to properly build out your mech or the emplacements to take care of it, because you're playing like a single player game and it wasn't meant to be a single player game. But you're so far into, like I'm at the last level, and I've just realized there's no way you can actually build out the mech. You basically got to hope you can just survive through this round with this fucking sniper shooting at you the entire time.
Right. How are the unlockables, like, as far as, is there enough there to keep you warranted? Yeah.
Well, it's weird. There's a lot of unlockables, but they don't have a lot of variety, if that makes any sense. Like, there's three different, like, mech cores. Mm-hmm. like there's assault, which is the big one, there's the medium size, which is well-rounded, and the engineering, which has all the emplacements, but they all kind of play like, and there's different variations within all three of those,
right?
But all three of those, all the variations between each one play kind of the same. There's different legs, like there's that legs that can dash, and there's legs that you can hit the special power on, and like you're basically fortified.
Two words: Cyborg. Yep. Justice.
Yes, good old Save Cyborg Genesis. Justice. There's like four different types of weapons, but the different types of weapons don't have a lot of variations within each type. Like there's a shotgun subtype, but all the shotguns basically do the same thing.
Oh, I see.
All the artillery basically do the same thing.
Yeah.
And basically what you're doing is you're unlocking stuff that becomes more powerful that enables you to kill the more powerful guys later on in the game. So you're kind of always, but with aside from like the exception of a few separate like really neat weapons that do different things, which aren't very common, you're basically at a stalemate at all times with your enemy.
Hmm.
It's fun. It's definitely worth the asking price.
Yeah.
It's a good diversion.
What held me back was Games for Windows Live, because I kind of don't want to use that for multiplayer games.
Right. Yeah. Because
like, do you not remember the Street Fighter 4 shit? That yeah. Like we could not even get in the same room.
Which didn't make any sense, guys. Neither one of you guys had issues with anyone else in the world.
Yep.
But yeah.
Good old anyway. Microsoft net code.
So that's what I've been playing, basically. And, of course, Street Fighter 4 being... I'm at the point in Street Fighter 4 where, you know, it ranks you up, and I'm at that point where, I'm being just completely humiliated by the people in, like, the B ranks. So, I don't know.
I need a new capture card if I'm going to stream fighting games, because
yeah, you really
it goes crazy.
Yeah, Persona 4 Arena, like, on your system, whatever you're using just does not work well at all.
I think anything that goes at a fast pace, it just drops, like, 30 frames.
Yeah, like, if it's going, like, 60 frames a second, like Persona 4 Arena probably is.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just choppy as hell. So that's what I've been playing.
Nice.
Doritos.
Yeah.
Doritos.
Doritos. That's it for episode 99. Next week. Next week, it's here, guys. It's here. Episode 100. Some big, shocking announcements. We're going to have some site news. We're going to have some podcast news. It's going to get crazy.
There may or may not be video games involved.
There might be. You know, just depends on how you play your cards.
I used to be saying something about the mayor, and then I just immediately went to Mayor McCheese, but that's neither here nor there.
Right. Or is it?
Or here or there or mayor. Get it? Get it?
Oh, I see what you... Yep.
You're out of the band.
That's our big announcement.
Shit. Out of the band.
But yeah, we're super excited. Episode 100 next week. We're gonna be here for the big event. It's like Doritos dust on your fingers. That's how good it is.
Can't get enough of it.
You can't.
And it will never come off unless you involve a sink.
Never.
And don't wear that shirt because you'll never
unless
be able to wear that shirt.
Unless you involve a sink. Nope. That's it. No, let's just end the sink.
We're done.
We're done.